sorry about the little trepidation, Don, that I caused you, but I know you were a little anxious about me not being here, but I was, as long as I was here before 11, that was my understanding, so I apologize for showing up a little late. I guess 10:30 is late, so I apologize about that. Don noted that I'm going to be speaking on shun, depart, but he got the order wrong. It's shun, depart, flee, and avoid. And so that's the order that I'll be speaking. So in matter of fact, in the book, page 487, shun, depart, flee, and avoid. Me and Don always kind of had that order like that from the time that he gave me the assignment. And so shun, depart, flee, avoid. That's the subject that I'll be looking at. And so I definitely invite your attention to the manuscript in the book, and also just follow along as we look at this very timely, I believe, subject. First, I want to thank Don for mentioning the new startup work that is going on. If I can, just for a moment, just speak briefly about that. I do solicit your prayers, please, on the work. As Don said, it's a startup work, and it's work. It's a lot of work, and it's a lot of work. And so I just solicit your prayers, please, on that work, Mission City, and as we are endeavoring to be a sound congregation. You can never have enough sound congregations, especially what's going on in the brotherhood nowadays. So I solicit your prayers and any type of support you can give whatsoever. Also, before I speak on the lectureship, I just want to dedicate this particular sermon, if you will, to my father, Leon Berry, back in Cincinnati, Ohio, and I ask for your prayers for him as well. So I dedicate this to my father. It went from my father, of course, and my older brother, who in the initial stages of my life, they really were inspiring. They were inspiration for me to be where I'm at today. So I just ask that you keep my father, Leon Berry, in your prayers, and I dedicate this to him. So we're going to look at shun, depart, flee, and avoid. Shun, depart, flee, and avoid. 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verses 16 through 23 is where we gather our four action words. And we're going to look at these individually, and we're going to just see how we can make application of these words to our lives today. Now, we won't necessarily follow the manuscript per se. I do encourage you to go back and look over that and read what we have put together there. But we'll look at the first word. The first word that we have is the word shun. And the Bible says, 2 Timothy 2:16, but shun profane and idle babbling, for they will increase to more ungodliness. The word shun means to literally turn oneself or to go in a separate, to go in a different direction in order to avoid someone or something. So when we shun something, we are going in a direction that is not in the same direction in which that object or person is going. So we want to shun them. We want to go in a different direction. Basically, we can rightly deduce in Scripture that everything not commanded by God in His Word is something that we as saints, we as Christians need to shun. We need to shun these things. We need to shirk certain things that could catch us in a snare, which causes us to do things which God would not be pleased with. And certainly, we don't want to be in a situation where God is not pleased with us. We know that it is a challenge to live the Christian life, but there are certain things that we want to shun. So I want to just mention a few things that I believe as Christians, as we look at heaven's vocabulary, and heaven has given us these vocabulary for a specific reason. I believe the Holy Spirit has given us language which is going to help us map out our journey to get from earth into eternity with God in heaven. So we as saints of God, as Christians, we need to make sure that we are studying God's word so that we can continually learn heaven's vocabulary. We know man's vocabulary, don't we? Some of us know man's vocabulary very well. Some of us know it a little bit too well. We say things which we ought not to be saying. But when we look at heaven's vocabulary, we get God's map, God's direction, as God's assistant to help us. So we shun, the word shun. So what are some of the things that we should shun? I submit to you, number one, we should shun. Remember, the definition is you are going in a different direction from someone or something. So here's a someone. We should shun false teachers among churches of Christ. I'm speaking to members, I believe, mostly of the body of Christ, so I want to make the application in that. We need to shun these false teachers among churches of Christ. Now, I don't say that in an unkind, in an unloving way. We love everybody, and we even love those brethren, unfortunately, who are in liberalism. We love those who have gone off into apostates. I want to make that clear that I'm not saying we need to hate them or be mean-spirited towards them or be unkind towards them. To the contrary, we need to be loving towards them. But we also need to recognize that we need to shun those who will teach doctrines which are contrary to the gospel of Christ. Now, I know with them, it's popular. It's popular. It lets them to be at peace with the world when they could spread and spew their false doctrine. You know, what would have happened some 20 years ago if brethren had really began to shun those false teachers among churches of Christ? I think that those congregations, which now we know are in a full-blown apostate, perhaps they wouldn't be there if members shun those speakers, those who were spewing really these doctrines which are not from heaven but from Satan. So we need to shun those false teachers. Now, I know sometimes, and we need to be careful as Christians, that sometimes we get caught up with the personality of the preacher. You know, we like him as a person. We like hanging around him. We like his family, and there's nothing wrong with that. But we get so caught up in the personality of the person that we have a difficulty now separating that person from the doctrine which they espouse. So if they teach false doctrine, what do? We just fall right in line with them. But we need to, even to the point of friendship, we need to understand that we need to follow God and not man. And I hope that nobody in preaching would ever follow me, follow Christ. I hope that you would follow Jesus Christ and him crucified. Amen. So we need to shun. We need to go in a different direction from those false teachers among churches of Christ. Another thing, number two, remember the definition is shun or go in a different direction from someone or something. We need to get away from this something. And that is this denominational concept that many are trying to bring into the Lord's church. I'm not going to particularly name a particular congregation, but we know among churches of Christ, there are those who now are espousing denominational concepts in churches of Christ. And they are trying to bring that over from the world into the office or into the body of Christ. And having literally no problem with it whatsoever. I mean, after all, did we not escape the pollution? Did we not escape the defilement of the world and to now want to go back into that? To denominationalize churches of Christ. Oh, we know it's been going on for years. It's not just happening in 2007. It was happening in 1997. It was happening in 1987. It was happening in 1977. It was happening in 1967. I mean, these things have been happening all along, but we need to make sure that we avoid go in a different direction from anyone making us or making any attempt to denominationalize the Church of Christ. And we need to be careful as Christians that we are mindful to shun, you know, certain, we're talking about verbiage, having vocabulary, that we shun certain denominational terms, right? When we're looking or speaking of the Church of Christ. I am not a Church of Christ preacher. You know, I am a minister of the gospel of Christ. Amen. When we talk to people about the faith, we talk to them about the Lord's church, but we don't denominationalize it in any fashion, shape, or form. We're not looking to do things which are, well, we aren't looking to do anything that is contrary to the Word of God. You know, some people want to denominationalize Church of Christ and think that we should start having at our localities or facilities, we need to have a daycare center. You know, we need to have a gymnasium. You know, we need to have these things which feed the poor and along those lines and making a denominational concept. Now, we will definitely feed the poor when we do the work of the church, when we give them clothing or items, whatever they need. But we don't set up separate institutions or separate organizations denominationalizing the concept of the church. So there are certain things that we should be careful that we should shun in God's word. Point number two, we need to depart. Now, in the context here, we have the Lord in verse number 19, 2 Timothy chapter number 2. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. The word for depart is the word which means to withdraw or to absent oneself from. To withdraw or to absent oneself from. There are certain things in God's word which God clearly tells us that we need to depart from. And I like what Paul is dealing with in the context. He's telling this young gospel preacher to make sure that you depart from iniquity. Depart from those things which are going to put you back into the snare of sin. Depart from those certain things which will encumber, which will arrest your spiritual development. And so as we look at this, what things should we depart from today? And again, time and space will not allow us to go into what we have in the manuscript. So we'll look at some of the things as we make application that we should depart from likewise today in God's word. You know, the New Testament pattern of worship, and that is a biblical concept, a pattern, because the New Testament is a pattern. The New Testament pattern of worship as given to us in the Bible tells us, John 4:24, that God is spirit and they that worship him must worship him. It's not a choice. It's not an option. We must worship God in spirit and in truth. We worship God according to what has been revealed to us in the New Testament pattern that we have here in God's holy word. Therefore, I can't add to, I can't take from, I can't water it down, I can't make compromises to it. It is what it is. And I must adjust to it. It doesn't adjust to me. So therefore, I must be careful when I am studying God's word and making every attempt to live the Christian life and worship God in spirit and in truth, that I do exactly what God said, like he said, in express manner that he said it, in the way that he said it. Amen. Now, there are those who are looking to tamper with, if you will, the New Testament pattern of worship. And so some will say, you know, we believe, after a few years of study, we believe that the word of God allows for us to worship God and partake of the Lord's Supper on a day other than the Lord's Day. Now, we know men may meet, call themselves elders. Every man that calls himself elder is not necessarily a godly elder. I'm going to say that again. Every man that just because he calls himself an elder in the Lord's church doesn't necessarily make him a godly elder. So just because an eldership may meet and say, we're going to meet on Saturday, we're going to take the Lord's Supper on Saturday, that this is scriptural and this is right. Man does not have the right to change God's pattern of New Testament worship. So what should we do as Christians? We should depart. We should absent ourselves from a congregation that states that we will avoid or we will abandon the New Testament pattern of worship. We need to depart from that congregation. I know we may have friends there, we may have family there, but we need to understand we ought to obey God rather than man. Acts 5:29. Another thing we should depart from, doctrines of men. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6 to 7. Now, Paul, there in context, said, though we or an angel from heaven should preach unto you any other gospel, or in other words, a different gospel of a different kind, if we or an angel from heaven should preach that, let him be accursed. I know, again, doctrines of men need to be departed from. We need to absent ourselves from any person who will make an attempt to teach a teaching that we just cannot find in God's written words. Popularity notwithstanding, we need to make sure that we depart from anyone who teaches a differing doctrine than what the New Testament pattern has revealed for us. I still believe if we just preach God's pure, unadulterated gospel, that men today will obey from their heart that form of doctrine, which is able to save their souls. We don't need to change it in any way, shape, fashion, or form. This gospel is still God's power to save. Another thing that we need to depart from, we need to depart from spiritual laziness. Now, again, by definition, depart means to withdraw or absent oneself from. And in this case, withdraw or absent yourself from the mindset or from the attitude that you don't want to do the work of the church. You know, I put down in the manuscript that 10% of the congregation is left to do 100% of the work of the church. 10%. And I don't have the remedy. I wish I did. But I don't have the remedy to get the 90% to where I just don't. It kind of reminds you what Jesus said with the lepers, right? When he healed 10 of them and only one of them came back to thank him, where are the nine? Well, where are the 90% of Christians now when it comes to the work of the church? And I'm talking in particular about benevolence. I'm talking about evangelism. And I'm talking about edification. Where are the 90? 10% do 100% of the work. People, we need to depart from that. And I contend that if we're going to make heaven our eternal home, then we must do this. I mean, we must do this. And all of us, in some shape, can do the work of the church in some capacity. We're not saying that you have to be a preacher, but you can do something in the work of the church and stop leaving all the work to just the faithful few, because we all need to be a part of this work. As they say in corporate America, we all need to buy into this concept of this company for the profits, you know? Your profits, if you want to do that, then we understand that all of us stand to gain greatly when we all do the work at a church. So let's depart from spiritual apathy, or if you will, spiritual laziness, and let's all get involved and say, I am ready. You know, when we look at the Bible, we look in the book of Haggai, right? In Haggai chapter number 1 and verses 4 and 9, and how the people just let God's house lie, what? In ruins, while their own houses was living fine. And then still, over here in the Lord's church today, if I can make an application, I'm sure that that same laziness which we have spiritually, we don't have secularly. I'm sure everybody's home looks nice, don't you? And you work in your job and everything is going fine there. You have a whole lot of energy for that. And you have a whole lot of energy to do the things that you want to do. But when it comes to God's house, when it comes over here, all of a sudden, your legs don't move anymore. Your arms don't flow anymore. And your mouth don't speak anymore. And your eyes don't see anymore. And your ears don't hear anymore. We need to depart from that. In the book of Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 17 and 18. I like what the Bible just says there, don't you? It says that the people there had a mind to work. That's what we need. We need everybody having a mind to work. And in some way, we can all do something which will exhibit in our lives that we are truly seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, allowing all things to be added unto us. Matthew 6, 33. Magnifying our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The third word, flee. This word in context, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22. The Bible says, flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. And again, in the manuscript, we went ahead and we went over this, and it was some good studies and looking at this word and flee and those things that we are to flee. And it is true that with those who are younger, there are some challenges that we need to flee. Hence, that's why it's called youthful lust. There are things that are more common to those who are younger than opposed to those who are older. But it still is for all. So we flee things which are familiar to those who are at a youth. But I want to note that the word for flee means to flee from or turn away or to run from. And it gives the connotation of it's a matter of urgency. You know, I'm anxious to get away from this because I know the inherent danger that it could prevail if I stay in it. So I get out of there quickly. I don't sit there and just wallow in it. You know, sometimes we get in trouble because with sin, we just stay there. And we're kind of going back and forth, should I not? And we kind of like sit there on the fence. But Paul is saying, no, get out of there hastily. Get out of there quickly because it's dangerous if you stay. So we don't want to stay with sin. We don't want to play with sin. We know that a man cannot take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned. We don't want to play with sin. So we flee from that because we know that it is dangerous if we stay in there. So as Christians, as we continue to strive to live our lives for God, what are, again, a few things that we ought to be mindful to flee from? Well, of course, selfishness. You know, again, that kind of goes back to my previous point, but I submit maybe selfishness keeps us from doing the work that we should do. We want to just do what's best for us. I know that in the 21st century now, boy, is this ever the generation where we are narcissistic? I mean, it's really all about us. It's all about taking care of me first, you know, and so that selfishness embeds itself in our, we have to fight that as Christians, make sure that we're not selfish, and we do put God first and put others second and put ourselves last. Then what about immorality? Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. There are some things that we need to battle as Christians, the desires of the flesh. We need to make sure that we work hard to flee. And again, don't sit there and debate about it. Don't sit there and say, well, I think we need to, as best as we can, flee from it. But you know, another thing that we need to flee, and along the lines of the desires of the flesh, we need to flee fighting among ourselves as brethren in Christ. I don't know what's happened in the last few years, but there seems to be a lot of in-house fighting among sound brethren. And I don't know the whys and wherefores of it. I'm not getting into that. I try not to occupy my mind with those things. But it just seems to me that Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1, let brotherly love continue. I don't seem to be able to see that exhibited. Now, I'm not saying, again, that we need to be in bed with those who are teaching false doctrine. But, brethren, why is there so much in-house fighting among us? Such and such brother was on a certain lectureship, and so we're not going to have him on our lectureship because he was on this lectureship with this person who we don't like on that lectureship. This person preaching this gospel meeting, we don't want to have him here because he was in this gospel meeting. But you never let the brethren know why you have an ought or an issue with them. And it just seems like we're just being so petty and bickering over things, brethren, which we ought not. Again, I'm not saying that we don't need to discuss doctrinal issues. Not saying that. But where's all the fighting coming from? And look how it looks to those who are not members of the body of Christ. Because in some cases, we are publicly airing these things to those who are outside of the body of Christ. Brethren, can we flee these things? Can't we just come together in love and discuss whatever it is that we say that we have a problem with someone, and let's unite in Christ and make an attempt to discuss it and quit fighting among ourselves, brethren? We need to flee from this. And then finally, the last word is the word avoid. Avoid. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 23. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. Now, I know some men will say amen to this when discussing this with their women. But this is not what the context is talking about. The word for avoid means to refuse, to decline, or to avoid. Now, I know you're not supposed to define a word with the word, but that's the way it was when I looked it up. So when the word for avoid means to refuse, to decline, to avoid. And as I have in the manuscript, there are certain things in the Bible which says that we are to avoid certain things. For example, Christians are exhorted to avoid every appearance, every kind of evil. And that really should be self-explanatory. If there's a doubt in our mind, then we need to know we need to avoid that certain type of behavior. The Bible also tells us to avoid divisive brethren, Romans chapter 16, verse 17 and 18. We are to avoid sexual immorality, 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse number 2. And we are to avoid profane and idle babblings, 1 Timothy 6 and 20. These are things that we need to make sure that we refuse or decline to take part in. However, I also want to submit to you this point. We need to avoid attitudes of partiality. Very quickly, please turn with me to the book of James, James chapter number 2 and verses 1 through 4. And I want us to look at this as something that we also need to make sure that we avoid. Look what James has to say. And this is a familiar passage for all of us. My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord of glory, with partiality. For if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings and fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes, and say to him, you sit here in a good place, and say to the poor man, you stand there or sit here at my footstool, have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Now, good. In context, we know exactly what James is talking about, you know, the rich and the poor. However, we know we can also make an, if you will, secondary application to that as well. And I think it's high time in the Lord's church that we honestly, and I do mean this sincerely, that we honestly, and not just, you know, give a passing reference to, but let's honestly deal with the fact that even though this is the 21st century, we still do have racial tensions in churches of Christ. To say that it doesn't exist is being part of the problem. We need to honestly examine it, honestly look at it, and look at this from a standpoint that we need to make sure in our Christian life that we avoid these things. Is it challenging for some? Yes. But I know for a fact that there are certain churches of Christ that would never have a person like me come and stand in their pulpit and preach the word. Okay, and likewise, there are congregations which I can go and preach to, which perhaps maybe Brother Don Walker would not be invited to go in. And yes, these are supposed to be brethren in Christ. Let us honestly deal with the fact that we need to avoid these attitudes of racial discrimination and racial prejudice. We're wasting an opportunity if we don't honestly look at it and say that it does exist and say now, we know what the Bible says about it, so let's not give lip service to it, because for too long we've been giving lip service to it. Let's just absolutely do something in application, you know, and make sure that in our hearts and minds that we make sure that we love everybody regardless of their ethnicity. We love everybody regardless of their social status. We love everybody regardless of their economic status. So I think that that's something that we should be mindful in God's word, that we likewise also avoid and perhaps begin honest dialogue on the subject and say, you know what, let's talk about race issues. Let's talk about these things and let's see where we stand. Let's see what we can do about it, because we all are brethren. And God makes no distinction. Ephesians chapter number 2, right? He broke down the middle wall of partition between Jew and Gentile. So God recognizes all persons who call upon the name of Christ. And we should be thankful and grateful to our Heavenly Father for that. Amen. So in conclusion, I just want to again look at these words that we looked at. We looked at shun. We looked at depart. We looked at flee. And we looked at avoid. And these are action words from heaven's vocabulary that I'm hoping and trusting and praying that as we put together the manuscript, maybe it's something that will cause you to think and cause you to go in your own time and study these words to see whether or not these things are so. Again, I want to thank the Shenandoah congregation for this kind invite. And it is my hope, trust, and prayer that these words, shun, depart, flee, avoid, that we can take and incorporate them into our lives and make sure that in turn that we are doing the best we can for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for your time.